Church, you're invited to open the Bible in John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Our title is True Freedom is Bound to Its Giver. John chapter 8, verse 31. The title is True freedom is bound to its giver. Let us read. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." And we stop here. God loves us, that's why he gave us his word. God loves us, that's why he gave us the Son who sets us free. And God loves us, that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be the teacher here today. True freedom is bound to its giver. Just as an introduction, we all want freedom, church. If you ask an American, "Do you want to be free?" they're going to sing, "Oh, the land of the free, and the home of the brave." Should I quit singing? Yeah, okay. All of us, we want freedom. And what the world tries to do, the world tries to have freedom apart from God, which is a mistake. What we're going to learn here is that true freedom is always attached to the giver. That's why the title, it's paradoxical, but it's not. True freedom, it's bound to the giver. That's what we're going to learn today. So let us see what takes away our freedom, which is our first point here. The issue of slavery. Slavery takes our freedom. Church, if you ask, there is various definitions for slavery, but there is one common theme. Why there is various definitions? If you ask the people of Israel during the time of Moses, if you ask these people here during the time of the Romans occupation, if you ask modern immigrants who do hard job for minimum wage and all that kind of thing, all of them going to give you one definition of slavery, that it's not the same because of context. Nevertheless, there is always one common theme, which is lack of freedom. By definition, slavery takes your freedom out of you. The master does the thinking, the master does the will, the master calls the shot, and the slave just obeys and follows. Jesus applies that spiritually. Original sin and ruled by sin, verse 34 and verse 35. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." You understand this in two ways. The day that Adam sinned, everybody else became slave. Adam was free. Adam had the perfect scenario. But he messed up. And when he messed up, he got slaved. All of us got slaved. To whom? To sin. But also, there is another way you can see this. It is people who are ruled by sin. And now you're not talking about one sin that Adam did. You're not talking about one sin that everybody does. Here you are talking about someone who is devoted to sin. He loves sin. He practices sins. He applauds sins. He wants sins to be spread all over. If somebody's doing wrong, he doesn't rebuke. He says, good job, that's good. That's the person who is ruled by sin. And that's the one Jesus is arguing here. Anyone who lives for the pleasure of sin and loves sin, he's ruled by sin and he's a slave to sin. So that's the spiritual application Jesus makes here. Let us see our second point. Because we are slave to sin, humans always try to find a way out. Always. And there are three things that humanity does. Philosophy, religion, and by religion I mean legalism, self-righteousness, that morality that it's empty of a relationship with God, and self-ruling. God doesn't rule me, the government doesn't rule me, my parents doesn't rule me, only my wife rules me, but apart from that, nobody else rules me. I'm self-ruling. Let us see the human's attempt to be free. Knowledge says, philosophy says, I am going to think my way out. That word there, gnosis, is the word in the Greek for knowledge. Okay? Verse 32, Jesus says, you will know the truth. That's the word there, gnosis. Okay? The word knowledge in the mouth of Jesus, it means something. The word knowledge in the world, in science, in the bars, means a completely different thing. Same word, two different meanings. Plato, four centuries before Jesus, he came up with an illustration you probably know, very famous illustration, and brilliant illustration. He depicted three men in a cave, and they were chained. You're chained in a cave. The cave is a prison. And the cave has a door. The cave has the light. Look at the light over there. Bright, brilliant, good looking. You are the best. And the light, they were chained. Instead of looking to the world to be tempted, oh, I wish I was outside, but I can't go. They were chained backwards. All they saw was a wall. The light, they don't see directly. They see only it on the wall. And all they get to see is their own shadow and the people who passes by the door. A human who passes, a bird that passes. Sunny day, they know the shadow is there. Gloomy, dark day, they can't see their shadows. Okay, are you following me? That's the illustration. Plato says, the average people are the ones with chains. All they do, they work with the shadows. Only a few of people, the smart people, the people who think, outside of the box. Everybody's going to the left, they go to the right. Everybody's going to the right, they go to the left. They want to think out of the box. They are the ones who are enlightened. Knowledge. Okay? They see the world. Brilliant. Brilliant analogy. But we have some questions to Plato, okay? Let us see the next one. Religion. Religion says, I am going to obey my way out. Let us read with me verse 33. They answered to Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. As soon as Jesus speaks, they say, Jesus, that's a good preaching. To the guy behind me, to the guy next to me, to the guy on my left. Not to me, because I am Abraham's seeds. I have church membership. I was baptized. Those things are for the world, not for me. That's what they say. Church, by definition, the people of Israel, they were concepted, they were birthed in slavery. First commandment of the Bible, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of the house of slavery. And they are saying that they were never slaves. They are blind. And that's what religion does. And that's what empty moralism does. And that's what legalism does. The person starts to obey. The person obeys another day. The person prays another day. The person comes to the church another day. And then they look at to God and say, God, now you owe me a blessing. God, now you need to set me free. Why? Because I prayed. Because I came to church. Because I obeyed. And I am better than the average. The sermon is for someone else, not for me. The words, the truth shall set you free, it's for someone else, not for me. That's dangerous. Third solution of the world, third solution of humans, it is the world. The modern world says, and this is 2026, let's call sin freedom. Don't call it sin, call it choice. Don't call it sin, call it my truth, your truth. What is seen for me, it's not seen for you. What is seen for you, it's not seen for me. Everything is relative. We don't talk about sin. We don't talk about hell. We don't talk about holiness. We don't talk about righteousness. We redefine things. 2026. But that practice, church, did not begin in 2026. Canada 2026. U.S., that practice is started in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. In the Garden of Eden. Satan looked at the tree. No, this is not sin. Take it. Eat. Disobey. You will not die. You will not sin. The day you eat, you're going to be free. And Adam and Eve fall to the trap. That's where it started. And our world, it does the same. Let's redefine sin. Let us call it freedom. If I have money, I'm free. If I don't have a boss, I am free. If I take God out of the public life, take the Bible out of schools, take the Bible out of the courtroom, take the Bible out of community, then we are truly free. Because there is not an annoying pastor to tell that what I'm doing is wrong. I am finally free. Let us see why those human attempts, they fail, church. Let us depict each... No, wait. Let us depict each one of them. Let's go to knowledge first. Knowledge says, I am going to think my way out. Religion, please. Religion says, I am going to obey my way out. And the modern world says, I'm going to rename sin. It's now called freedom. Pay attention, church. All of these approaches, they are wrong because they are self-centered. They start with me and they finish with me. All these approaches are also wrong because they miss the most important thing. Who is the most important thing? God. Apart from God, they believe that they can be free, but they can't. Why? Because freedom is always bound to the giver. If God is our master, if God is our Lord, we are truly free. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. If He is not the master, it's foolishness to think that we are self-autonomous, to think that we don't have a master. Because by default and by definition, when God is not the master, sin is the master. The self is the master. And the more I am self-centered, the more I become proud. And church, how hard it is to break the chains of pride. Say amen who knows that. Right? That's probably the worst chain. God takes a whole life to break that chain out of us. That's why all these attempts, they fail. So let us see the gospel. The gospel has the solution. The gospel, Jesus, always has the solution. And that's our third point. What's the gospel solution? Truth, redemption, and discipleship. Very simple, very straightforward. Verse 32, we already read it. Let us read it again. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Church, if this verse, this chapter, stopped here in verse 32, we would give Plato the credit. Because Plato said in the allegory of the cave that light, knowledge, truth, it's what set people free. If we read, Jesus is saying the same thing. The truth will set you free. If we stop here, Plato is right. But we don't stop here. Jesus goes ahead. Jesus says, the Son will set you free. In other words, what is the truth? It is not enlightenment. It's not knowledge. It's not philosophy. Truth has a name, and His name is Jesus. And you want to see this statement of Christ in light of our last couple of sermons. First one, I am the light of the world. If Plato thinks that knowledge is the light, Jesus says, Plato, you're wrong. I am the light. Remember, church, our last sermon, we talked about the most dreadful day of human history. What's the most dreadful day of human history? It is the day we all gonna be before God. The day, the last day. And Jesus, church, He's gonna ask everybody only one question. We think, when we think about the judgment day, we think that God is gonna bring many questions. What did you do? What did you do last summer? What did you do on that winter? Why did you fail this? No, that's not true. Only one question. What is the question? What's the truth? Who is the truth? And for people like you, like me, we reply, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the Savior. I belong to Him. Good. But for everybody else, when Jesus asks, what's the truth? They're gonna do like Pilate. Pilate. Pilate, the governor. Pilatus. Pilate. Yeah. They're gonna do like Pilate. What's the truth? The truth is standing in front of him and he says, what's the truth? Any other answer that it's not Jesus, condemnation. That's why Jesus is saying, you will know the truth. When you look at me, you will know the truth. And you better believe it. You better abide it. You better confess. Because I set you free. And that's the next item. Redemption. If the Son sets you free, verse 36, you will be free indeed. And you want to see this in light of legalism, in light of moralism. Church, this is mind-blowing what's happening here. Please have a look in verse 34. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is giving you two people. Both of them go to the same temple, worship the same songs, read the same book, wear the same clothes. One is a slave. The other is completely free. They have both the same confession, the same rituals. One is a slave, the other is free. Why? One have a relationship with God and he can't see the Father. One have a relationship with God and all he has is a bunch of rules and a bunch of tasks and zero relationship with Jesus. The other one, he sits at the table. He has a relationship. And because he has a relationship, he obeys way much better than the slave. But both are in the house, according to Jesus. If the Son sets you free, not a doctrine, not a denomination, nothing but the Son who sets us free. Thirdly and lastly, discipleship. If the world, we want to see this in light of the world. If the world tells you, take God out of the picture and then you are truly free, rename sin. Now sin is no longer sin. Sin is whatever else. You are truly free. No. Jesus says, if you are my disciples, you are truly free. If you love me, you're going to obey me and you will be truly free. From verse 31 all the way down, Jesus says the same words. We cannot see this in the English, but we do can see this in the Greek. Abide. Abide. Stay with my words. Hold my words. Do not go away. And I want to give you an illustration here. What does Jesus mean by abiding? You're going to pick this up very easily. Suppose a fellow Dutchman comes from Holland to visit you. You're going to take them to CN Tower. You're going to take them to Ripley's. You're going to take them to watch the Blue Jays. Yes or of course? Let me see this one. Are you going to take him to Village Bakery?
Ah, only Dutch people will take there.
Okay.
And then this visitor, he goes back to Holland, and I was going to send him an email. Do you know Canada? Have you been to Canada? And he's going to say, I know Canada. I went to all of those places. But that's just tourism. Only we who handle the 401, only we who get fever and you go to the doctor, and by the time he sees you, you're already good. Only us who pay taxes for Justin Trudeau, Carney. Only us. We really know Canada. Yes or no? If you abide in me, you are truly my disciple. If your faith is just a tourism, just a few things, your faith is nothing. True disciples, they abide. That's what Jesus is saying. Truth, redemption, all of this ends up in discipleship. Let us conclude and sum things up. Church, as I promised you, freedom is a gift completely tied to the giver. There is no surprise here. Either Jesus or sin. Either Jesus or the world. Either Jesus or Satan. The world really fools itself, thinking that they can be free apart from God. That's not true. Nobody's that free. Only in Christ you're truly free. And how do you see this, church? In light of Exodus and Deuteronomy. In the people of Israel, God is so good, God is so beautiful, that every time a Jewish man, he employed another Jewish person, that Jewish person would work for 6 years, and then he would have in the seventh year of rest. Every 7 years, there was a time of rest. And by the sixth year, the employer, look at this, hear this, Kevin, hear this very well, the employer would give a good bonus to the employee. Did you hear that, Kevin? Okay, good. So that he would spend his Shabbat year very well. However, church, there were some masters, they were so good that the employee, they said, you know what? I am better serving you than elsewhere. I want to be your servant for life. So then what they would do, they would come to the temple, they would pierce their own ears, and from that time on, they are servant for life. Out of what? Not out of fear, not out of near, out of love. That's what Jesus is calling you to do. That's why, church, Paul, when he writes a letter, he introduces himself like this. Paul, not an apostle, not a preacher. Paul, servant of Christ. James, the brother of the Lord, who could pull the trump card anytime he wants. Hello, my name is James. Not the brother, not an apostle, not the leader of the church. My name is James, servant of Christ. We start this sermon talking about freedom. We finish this sermon talking about Christ. Why? Because Christ and freedom are synonyms. May the Lord bless you, church.